This is Chris Dufault. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Crookston, Minnesota. I'm pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. We begin with Crop Watch. Crop Watch brought to you by BASF, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Crary Industries, Bayer Crop Science. Farming in the Benson, Minnesota area, Richard Severson is still a few days away from getting into the field.
There's going to be guys on hilly ground north of me probably doing some scratching tomorrow, the next day, and probably a few acres put in. In the lower ground like I have, it's maybe going to be the end of the week. We're seeing some really nice forecast temperatures in the 70s here for tomorrow and Thursday. So by the end of the week, our ground should be warm enough.
Severson says the tree lines and groves still have snow in them.
I'm hoping that by the end of this week, give or take on the forecast with these potential for showers, we could be get the bugs worked out of all the technology. And then by early next week, I think we'd be hitting it really strong. And it's just where the snow is shaded by the trees that we're still seeing some melting. But as that snow melts, that water is cold, it seeps out into the field, and those areas are going to stay chilly and wet for at least a week.
Buffalo, North Dakota farmer Randy Melvin says fields are still holding on to a little moisture. It'll be in a few days until planting can begin.
You know, it's with all the snow we had this last winter and how things looked 3 weeks ago, it's pretty remarkable how the fields have soaked up the moisture. We still got some snow in the shelter belt, some snow in the ditches and the spots here there. But things are looking better than what we expected here about 3 weeks ago. We're still a little ways off. Fields are still a fair amount of water standing in fields and, still pretty tacky yet. We got a couple fields we're hoping maybe middle to end of next week we can get started on, but it's all going to hinge on how fast they dry out here and if we get any rain over the weekend. But all in all, I think we're probably better shape than we were last year as of today.
Melvin says with how late he's getting into the field, spring wheat and dry bean acres will likely be decreased.
Our first fields will most likely be corn, and we're going to try and get the corn, as much corn as we can, knocked out first, and then look at soybeans. The spring wheat we had in the rotation, most of it's been taken out and switched to a different crop, and the little bit we have left right now that we're looking at will probably get switched also. Probably our biggest change this year is, as of right now, we're not going to have any edible beans and then less spring wheat. As a rule of thumb for us, anytime I get past May 10th, May 15th, it just seems like I've never had good luck getting a decent spring wheat yield. As again, the middle to end of May, it's just easier to pull that out and switch it to another crop that I got a better opportunity with.
Well, the drills are starting to move in southwestern North Dakota. Dickinson area, Ed Kessel, has started to seed barley. He says the topsoil is drying out.
We got moisture down to 24 inches. From there, it's pretty dry. So not as much as we were hoping for with the heavy snow that we had. But we just need the ground to warm up a little bit and get things going. We've got some weeds coming in the fields. I can see that. And we need to get the sprayer going here this week. We were down to 20 degrees last night, so hopefully that was the last cold night of the year.
And Crop Watch brought to you by BASF, Crary Industries, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and by Bayer Crop Science.
Country futures market analyst Daryl Holliday says the grain trade remains very cautious. Traders not willing to get in front of an uncertain market.
There's still a lot of uncertainty, as we said, the corridor, the weather generally is wetter for the plains, maybe still a little bit drier in the northern plains and the Midwest, allowing some field work to continue. But the plains needs more rain. The driest areas have shifted around after the rain last week, but we still have a lot of it.
Traders not concerned about planting progress with weekly progress in line with expectation.
I'm one of those, I'm a little sarcastic about that number. I've never believed it's even close to being right, but it's the same for probably about the amount it was off a year ago, so you can kind of live with that. But my point is I think it's really hard to, I think harvest progress is easier to figure out than planting progress with the way we, the technology we have today and the way we no-till stuff in. It's really hard to, there's a lot of corn planted we don't know is planted, same with soybeans. But it's in, yeah, it was in line with expectations.
According to the weekly crop progress report, 6% of North Dakota's spring wheat is planted. That's up from 5% last year, but below the 13% average for the state. Just 1% of North Dakota's canola, oats, and barley are seeded. For the ranchers, 92% of stock water has an adequate to surplus supply.
In Minnesota, 91% of the topsoil moisture is rated adequate to surplus. 5% of the corn has been planted. That's well behind the long-term average of 23%. 10% of the oats are planted. 3% of that crop has emerged. 2% of the potatoes have been planted.
Only 1% of the South Dakota corn crop is planted. That's far behind the 10% normal pace for this time of the year. National Agricultural Statistics Service says 17% of South Dakota's spring wheat is seeded. That compares to 46% last year at the average of 40%.
Weather conditions will continue to be mostly favorable for much of the northern plains through the first week of the two-week outlook. World Weather Incorporated says river levels will continue to fall in the east. Rains are needed in the southern and western Dakotas, and there is more rain in the forecast beginning Friday and continuing through Monday. The southeastern 40% of the region will be the wettest, with up to an inch of rain expected. World Weather says the second week of the two-week outlook has a greater chance for increased shower activity, with near to slightly above average rainfall expectations.
According to USDA's monthly update on ag prices, most commodities are seeing lower values than a year ago. Soybeans averaging $14.90 a bushel in March, down from $15.40 last year. Spring wheat averaged $8.33 a bushel. That's down from $9.78. National price for corn, $6.67 a bushel. That's down from, rather up from $6.56 last year. The butcher hog markets are down $13.50 a hundredweight from a year ago. Cattle market trended higher through with calves totaling $320 per hundredweight. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. U.S. Senate Ag Subcommittee on Nutrition and Forestry met in D.C. today to hear from farmers across the country. Senator Tina Smith chaired the subcommittee and opened with emphasizing their goal.
I know that all members of this committee share the goal of passing a bipartisan farm bill reauthorization, a bill that meets the needs of American farmers, ranchers, and producers in every part of the country, and a bill that meets the moment. Farmers, ranchers, dairy farmers, poultry and livestock producers are at the center of our economy, our food system, and our national security. There is nothing more important to our country than a stable, secure, healthy food supply. These farm safety net programs, they are the tools to help farmers weather the inevitable ups and downs that will always be a part of your life and your life's work.
Smith also said during the hearing that input cost increases, natural disasters are adding to risk for farmers.
Although commodity prices are good, the ag sector faces many challenges. Today, too many producers are struggling to cover their operating costs, and this is especially true for small and medium-sized farms. According to the USDA, 50% of farms have negative farm income. The high level of concentration in the ag sector, combined with supply chain disruptions, has driven up input costs, which are now outpacing commodity prices and putting farmers in a real bind. And climate change and extreme weather events are increasing risk for farmers as they deal with droughts and floods, wind and hail, and increased pests. And global disruption, both wars and trade disputes, add to the uncertainty.
Testifying on behalf of the American Sugar Alliance and American Sugar Beet Growers Association, Vice President Neil Rockstead of Ada, Minnesota, expanded on the importance of updating Title I of the Farm Bill that will be updated in 2023.
Title I of the Farm Bill represents a critical safety net for our farming families and the employees of our sugar processors throughout the country. Farmers today are paying 87% more for diesel fuel and 141% more for fertilizer than they did compared with December 2018. the current loan rate values no longer provide a realistic safety net for our producers. We would support examining how the farm safety net could be updated to better match actual operating costs. It is critical that a strong policy remain in place to counter heavily subsidized and unreliable foreign suppliers whose environmental and labor standards simply do not measure up to our own.
National Sorghum Producers Past Chairman Cody Carson also emphasized how critical updating references prices is to farmers.
We keep talking about our reference and our loan prices being out of date, and I know it takes a tremendous amount of money to get those where they need to be. We keep calling them a safety net, and I'm not sure when that net's 2 inches above the concrete that it's doing the American farmer a lot of good. I don't have the answer, but I think that they're so far out of touch. We've talked about bringing young farmers in and incentivizing new farmers. With the loan and reference prices where they are, it doesn't give a beginning farmer or an underserved farmer stability from a lender, from their supplier. They're just so out of touch.
Water levels along the upper Mississippi River have resulted in lock closures preventing barge transportation. Soy Transportation Coalition Executive Director Mike Steenhook says the locks will be closed for at least another week.
It really kind of depends on what kind of additional precipitation we're expecting, but most of the estimates are these locks being closed for at least this next week, and in certain occasions up to 2 weeks. So this is something that's going to be with us and that we as an industry are wrestling with, you know, well into the middle of May.
Typical barge transportation this time of year includes fertilizer. Steenhook says fertilizer prices may go up with the added cost of rail or trucking.
Our key export window where most of that traffic occurs is during harvest season. But what does happen at this time of the year is a lot of northbound fertilizer shipments via barge, and a lot of that originates down by the Gulf of Mexico near New Orleans, and then it makes a northbound journey, obviously to coincide with planting season where, you know, fertilizer is necessary. And so that certainly has and will continue to impede those deliveries. So a lot of those fertilizer shipments will need to be rerouted probably to rail, to an extent to truck, to be able to get those supplies to their destinations.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. After 19 years as the executive director of the North Dakota Grain Growers Association, Dan Wogsland will retire June 1st. Grain Growers President Ed Kessel says Wogsland has made his mark on the industry.
When Dan would talk, people listened. And just because of the wealth of knowledge that he had, and we were fortunate to be able to capture that, whether it was in D.C. or Bismarck.
North Dakota Grain Growers Association has contracted with a firm in Fargo to help with the search.
We've advertised it, posted it for 2 weeks. We're going to look at and see what quality candidates that we have. If we've got somebody we feel that's worth it, we'll interview then. But if we need to post a little bit longer, we'll do that. I would rather make sure we find the right person once instead of looking down the road in a couple years again. It's our only staff, so we're going to, you know, the day-to-day stuff, we're going to work through it and go from there. So we do hope to be able to fill it as soon as possible. But, you know, that's understanding that these things just take time.
The National Milk Producers Federation has submitted its proposal to update the federal milk marketing orders. This proposal goes beyond the changes sought by the International Dairy Foods Association, which is only calling for an update in the make allowances used in pricing milk.
Looking at markets before we leave you here this afternoon, wheat finding lows in Minneapolis at 15 and a quarter lower to 17 lower, around that 776 mark. July wheat, Chicago, 8 1/4 lower, 18 lower for Kansas City wheat. Corn, July contracts, 3 1/4 lower. Soybeans, July, 12 lower at 14.15 1/2. Live cattle, June, $1.95 lower at $162.92, $1.70 lower for the August contracts. Feeder cattle, $3.70 lower at $2.06. Lean hogs, 7 cents higher at $89.77. This is the Red River Farm Network.